17 people died on Valentine's Day 2018 at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Within hours, something unprecedented happened. The survivors didn't wait for adults to speak for them. They grabbed their phones, called reporters, and declared that this time would be different. What followed wasn't just grief. It was a calculated rebellion against a political system that had normalized school shootings. These teenagers, armed with social media savvy and raw fury, managed to keep gun reform in national headlines longer than any previous mass shooting. They forced corporations to cut ties with the NRA, registered hundreds of thousands of young voters, and made gun violence a defining electoral issue. Their story reveals how trauma can transform into power when young people refuse to accept that this is just how things are. David and Lauren Hogg grew up practicing active shooter drills as routinely as spelling tests. While their parents feared nuclear war, an abstract threat that never materialized, these kids regularly rehearsed hiding from potential killers. Their California childhood seemed normal. They lived near the beach, turned their street into Candy Cane Lane at Christmas, and sold overpriced cookies to tourists. Their FBI agent father kept his service weapon in the garage, teaching David that guns were serious tools requiring respect. David struggled through school with undiagnosed dyslexia, labeled difficult and slow. He didn't learn to read until fourth grade, but his oppositional streak helped him find his own path, like discovering he could collect lost baseballs and trade them for snacks. Their father's constant survival lessons, always know your exits, stay calm in crisis, seemed like typical parental paranoia, until they weren't. In Florida, David honed essential skills through debate and TV production. Debate taught him to research thoroughly, check biases, and argue opposing positions, preparation for hostile media encounters ahead. He learned how lobbying groups control government policy, understanding the machinery preventing real change. Junior year nearly broke him academically. He restructured his life, waking at 3:30 a.m., breaking days into 30-minute segments, studying relentlessly. This discipline delivered perfect AP scores and revealed something crucial. Working with people accomplished more than competing against them. Reading The Glass Castle gave him perspective on privilege, pushing him toward vegetarianism, meditation, and a smaller carbon footprint. Lauren had her own formative experiences. In seventh grade peer counseling, she studied school shootings and safety protocols. In civics class, Mr. Grissett taught her about lobbying groups controlling government, the same forces that would later attack her online. Senior year brought David friendship with Emma Gonzalez. They bonded over memes, space exploration, and politics. The day before the shooting, David called Emma to tell her she would change the world, a prophetic conversation neither could have imagined. February 14, 2018, started with chocolates and teenage romance. When the fire alarm sounded during Lauren's TV production class, students assumed it was a prank. They'd already had a drill that morning. Then, kids started sprinting across the bus loop, terror in their eyes. Lauren's FBI training kicked in. She hid in a tiny filming room with friends. For 3 hours, horrific texts arrived. "Someone's shooting into my class. I love you guys so much." When her phone died, the helplessness intensified. David heard the first gunshot during AP Environmental Science. Students thought it was part of a planned drill. As they evacuated, they encountered others running in panic, accidentally heading toward the shooter until a janitor redirected them. When SWAT evacuated them, Lauren saw her father, the best feeling ever. But at home, watching her friends' faces on TV labeled as dead or missing, she screamed so hard her mother said it sounded subhuman. David grabbed his bike and rode back to talk to reporters. His parents tried to stop him, but he insisted, "If they don't get any stories, this will just fade away." Lauren collapsed from exhaustion while David gave endless interviews. She couldn't sleep, waking in darkness, a pattern shared by traumatized classmates. Watching the sunrise, she felt devastated, knowing her friends would never see it again. At Friday's vigil, 17 Christmas angels stood on stage while politicians spoke about gun control. Nobody believed anything would change. Lauren lay in bed remembering Gina, the science nerd, Jaime with the biggest heart, Elena, brilliantly smart and funny, and Alyssa, whose infectious laugh earned her the nickname Giggles. The movement began when Emma connected David with Cameron Caskey and his drama friends. 2 days after the shooting, they met at Cameron's house to plan their response, universal background checks and raising the rifle purchase age to 21. Cameron suggested hashtag never again, aware of its Holocaust associations, but feeling it captured their determination. Their strength came from their disorganization, just teenagers following instincts, sleeping on couches, running barefoot to CNN appearances. They refused traditional decorum. When Senator Rubio wouldn't promise to stop taking NRA money, Cameron wouldn't let up. Sarah Chadwick tweeted that AR-15s should be renamed Marco Rubio because they're so easy to buy. They calculated Rubio's price per student, $1.05, and wore price tags at the March for Our Lives. Conspiracy theorists attacked immediately. Donald Trump Jr. liked tweets calling David a cover-up artist for his FBI father. Far-right outlets labeled them crisis actors. Lauren's Instagram filled with white supremacists fabricating stories about spotting them at other shootings. Lauren strategically tweeted at Melania Trump, whose platform opposed cyberbullying. The viral tweet launched her activism. Though emotionally drained, she channeled grief into action. David's activist circle became her surrogate family, creating a healing space unlike anything she'd known. Returning to school after 2 weeks made their loss devastatingly real. Empty desks where Alyssa and Gina sat remained covered with roses, stark daily reminders. The students recognized their privilege. Their affluent, predominantly white community attracted national attention, while activists like Tyra Haymans and Zion Kelly struggled for headlines. Their 10-point plan emerged from extensive research. Fund gun violence research, digitize ATF records, universal background checks, ban high-capacity magazines and assault weapons, fund intervention programs, red flag laws, block domestic abusers from gun ownership, federal solutions to interstate trafficking, and safe storage requirements. Registering to vote was the crucial 11th point. Results came quickly. NRA favorability plummeted from 58% to 35%, a 20-year low. Major companies ended NRA discounts. Dick's Sporting Goods stopped selling assault weapons. Over 20 states passed gun safety laws. Two-thirds of Americans now support reinstating an assault weapons ban, the highest level in 25 years. The book closes with 17 portraits, lives, not statistics. Alyssa Alhadef's soccer teammates still write her number on their cleats. Scott Babel died ushering students to safety. Nicholas Dworit had just received a swimming scholarship. These were children anticipating prom, teachers helping struggling students, coaches doubling as mentors. The authors draw strength from their school's namesake, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, whose life as journalist, suffragette, and environmental champion proved that sustained advocacy creates change. Born in Columbine's shadow, this generation has grown up with active shooter drills as routine, making the threat lived reality rather than abstraction. They refuse to accept gun violence as unsolvable, extending their commitment beyond this book to honor all victims nationwide. Their message is both invitation and challenge. Join in creating a future where school shootings become history. Change requires sustained effort, collective action, and unwavering belief that organized resistance works. The question isn't whether you agree with every position, it's whether you'll act. The next generation is watching, and they're done waiting.